Our first scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 23. Once again, Andy and I will be reading two parts of one story. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was being born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. When he went and washed and came back able to see, the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But the others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Well, before we have the next portion of our Bible story this morning, I have a couple of things I want to follow up on within the life of our congregation. One is, I just want to say what a great day yesterday was. We had the annual golf tournament. It was we had such a great time. Many of you participated, and some of you participated in ways where you weren't even there. But it was a good day. I think we don't know the amount yet, but we raised money for three very important missions in our congregation. And I want to thank two people in particular. I want to thank J.D. Berkler, and I want to thank Sue Moore for leading that. And the other thing is I want to call your attention to this insert that's in your bulletin. This is a unique opportunity for us to spend some time at the Franciscan Center in Tampa on the Friday before Palm Sunday. If you can take the time to do this, I encourage you to. This is a wonderful opportunity to go spend some time in silence and contemplation, to be in a community that does this on a daily basis. And if you can do this, I think it will not only be an enjoyable moment for you, but it'll be educational and hopefully inspiring. So please consider participating in this great opportunity that we have as Holy Week will begin the following week after. Now, the next portion of the story. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory. I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." And the man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but God does listen to one who worships God and obeys God's will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And they answered him, "You were born entirely in sins and are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. And Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "Well, who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sins remain." For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us, thanks be to God. Well, much like Jeff mentioned in the time with the children earlier, this is one of my favorite Bible stories as well. I have always loved this story, but for different reasons. You know, I come from a theater background, worked in entertainment for many years, and I just love this story because it is very entertaining and at times even comical if we will let ourselves read it that way. I mean, this story goes all over the place. You've got the disciples wanting to know, did this man sin or not? You've got the neighbors coming in. Who is he? I don't recognize him. He looks like him, but no, it's not him. It's just somebody that looks like him. And then even the man's parents, when they take him and the Pharisees say, "Tell us about," and they go, "Well, ask him. We're not the ones." And the whole time the Pharisees are going through all these nitpicky questions based on their rules and their regulations about what has taken place and why it has taken place and who is this Jesus person anyway. And in this story, all these perspectives just get mixed up and go in different directions. But throughout the whole story, the man who is the one healed sticks to his story. He says, I don't know about all this other stuff. I don't know how it happened. I don't know who this man is. All I know is I was blind and now I see. And it's kind of interesting that not only is this man blind, but he becomes invisible in this story. Because nobody knows who he is. And nobody wants to talk directly to him. And when he does talk to them, they end up not believing his story. And he says, why should I tell it again? It's not going to change. I was blind, and now I see. The one perspective that never changes throughout this story is the one to whom this event happens. Everyone else has questions. What happened? Who is this man? Does he have authority to do this? How could he do this on the Sabbath? Oh, he must be a sinner. Sinners can't do these things. And within all of the questions and confusion, the man who is healed keeps saying the same thing over and over. All I know is I was blind and now I see. And then Jesus comes back into the story at the end of the story just to confuse things a little bit more. Have you noticed how Jesus does that a lot? You know, you think you're about to get this, and Jesus comes in with one of his paradoxes. Those things he's always saying. And he comes back into this story and he says, those who are blind will see and those who can see are blind. I never can hear this story without remembering a childhood experience. When I was a young boy, our next door neighbors were a large family, a large extended family of children and parents, grandparents, and also an uncle who was brother to the grandfather. And he was actually the oldest member of the family, the patriarch. And they lived in two houses. And these two houses were separated by several hundred feet. And there was a well-worn path between those two houses. And along that path, from the back door of one house to the back door of the other house, was what at first appeared to be a long, waist-high clothesline. But it was way too low to hang clothes on. But this was a way for the great uncle to feel his way from house to house. Because you see, he was blind. His name was Snowdy. Snowdy was a veteran of World War I, and he had been the tragic victim of some of the gases used in that war. He spent his days, especially when the weather was nice, sitting on the front screened-in porch of the main house. Snowdy smoked a pipe that was always in his hands, along with a few wooden kitchen matches that he shuffled and twirled with his fingers. And the ends of his fingers were black from constantly tamping and relighting that pipe. All the neighborhood children loved Snowdy. We would sit on the porch at his feet, watching him shuffle his matches and light his pipe. And while he was doing that, he would tell us amazing stories of the war, none of which I can remember. But I remember sitting on that porch with him many, many times. And after telling us his stories, he would reach down beside his chair and he would pull out this crumpled up brown paper bag and give each one of us a piece of bubble gum. And guess what? The next day, we would be saying, "Let's go talk to Snowdy," as we took a break from our ball game. But he didn't just tell his stories. He asked us questions. He treated us little kids like we were people. He asked us questions about things going on in our lives, things going on at school. How was the ball game going? He could hear us over there playing. He wanted to know who was winning. He talked to us like we were real people. But eventually he would always pull out that bag and give us a piece of bubble gum and we'd be on our way. And it wasn't just the kids, it was also the adults who would go over and talk with Snowdy. I would love to have talked with him as an adult. I don't think he gave them bubble gum though. I think about those experiences a lot in light of this story. Because Snowdy, even though he was blind, probably knew our neighborhood better than anybody. Because he took the one thing that he had the most of, time to listen and share, to just be with the people in the neighborhood. And here was this blind man among us who probably saw more than any of us. In a way, Snowdy fits into this little paradox of Jesus, that those who think they can see are sometimes blind, and those who are blind are the people who can see best. So just like most of the stories in the Bible, we're not really talking about physical blindness, even so in some cases we are. But mostly this story is about that sometimes we are blind to the truth. And what blinds us is our own perspective. Sometimes when we least expect it, light comes into our darkness, showing us a new way of which we never dreamed. And we see things a little differently. And this story invites us to look at our perspective on the world, our world view, and to slightly change it just to see what will happen. You know, that this is actually the literal meaning of the word repent. We put all this religious baggage on that word, but all repent means is to change your perspective. We're going to do a little perspective changing here right now. I want everybody to stand up. See, I told you, this is different. I want everybody to turn around and face that direction. Does it look different? Yeah. Look at all those people who were sitting behind you. You didn't even know old so-and-so came to church this morning. Well, kind of look to your right, look to your left, look all around. Yeah? Y'all didn't turn around? Turn around, choir. What do you see? Yeah. Boy, that beautiful wall. Yeah. You're seeing things that you don't normally see just because you change your perspective. It's all about perspective. Now I want you to turn back the way we were. You can have a seat. The gospel asks us to change our perspective. The gospel asks us to turn toward God. And here is the real kicker to the gospel. To turn toward God by turning toward one another. Because unfortunately, too many of us are like the rest of the people in this Bible story. The disciples, the neighbors, the Pharisees, his parents, all asking questions from our own perspectives, our own vested interests, getting all wrapped up in theological complexities. They are so focused on what they think is a miracle. And whether this miracle occurred and when it occurred and did it break any religious laws, they're so focused on all that they fail to see the sheer simplicity of Jesus' act of kindness and mercy. And this is where, as one of the children's favorite point happens, he spits in the dirt and makes some mud. It's very similar to a scene in a movie I recently saw, this movie Hacksaw Ridge. And there's this scene where this army medic finds a wounded soldier on the battlefield who is blindly firing this gun. And he makes his way to this wounded soldier and calms him down and realizes that he's firing around like this because he can't see. So he takes his canteen and he pours some water over his head and over his face, over the man's eyes. And the caked up mud comes off. And the man's face lights up and he says, "I thought I was blind." We get so caught up in how we think the world really is that we miss all of life in us and around us in its fullness. When all we really need to do, like Jesus and like Snowdy, is to just take a minute and listen and share. Change our perspective just a little bit. Amen. May the presence of God in each and every one of us and the love of God that surrounds us open us to new perspectives. Amen.